Toby?
Yeah, I'm a little new at this process, but my thoughts are a little more basic than that, than determining the value. And maybe it's the provisions are already there, but let's say First Wind goes bankrupt year seven, and you've got $249,000 and you've got a $2 million job. Is who does that? LURC Commission, State of Maine, landowner? I mean, where does the burden rest? It's one thing to miss a calculation on the value when you're done, but let's look at the other thing, which I think is a more basic and disturbing question to me, is where does the ultimate responsibility lie if the company that's doing it isn't there?
Yes, that's why as I understand it right now, the escrow fund is in place, is state controlled, LURC's oversight state controlled. Is that correct?
I think, Amy, did you catch the question? So my understanding is that if the company is no longer solvent, then and it's not going to be resolved through the landowner, the landowner may decide to take action based on their lease, or because their lease agreement does have requirements for removal of the equipment. But as a last resort, that the state of Maine could call in that escrow and make arrangements for the removal of those structures. But I don't know which agency and through what vehicle, and that may be something that Amy could elaborate on.
Is the question how do you get access to the money that's...
I think the question is whose responsibility is, and what actually happens if a company becomes insolvent and doesn't meet their decommissioning obligations.
And my question really is, if there's not a responsible entity there, why wouldn't you want all $2 million? I mean, if it's going to fall back as a burden to the state and the taxpayer and all that at that point in time, I think a lot bigger risk than trying to figure out what the salvage value is of a turbine is where does the risk ultimately lie if the company that's at the base of it isn't solvent. And I think it would be... maybe not irresponsible, or maybe irresponsible for the commission to look at this if there's not some guarantee. I mean, a $250,000 escrow, and that you don't get that until year seven. And $250,000 doesn't go very far when you've got a $2 million problem.
So you're asking a question that's in part a policy question, and I can't answer that. The second part of your question, as I understand it, is if there is money that's put aside in a escrow-type situation, in the past what it has been is either a letter of credit or a parental guarantee. And so under the terms of that agreement, it would be a binding contractual arrangement. The state, under circumstances in which decommissioning was triggered under the terms of your permit, the state would have legal access to that money.
Well,
but it would be in the amount designated, and I understand the policy issue you're raising. Is that an appropriate amount, and why should it not be the full amount? And I can't answer that question. It's not a legal question.
That is the issue exactly.
Well, isn't it, I mean, as I heard you say it, and I'm glad you raised this topic, there's more to it. Maybe I'm reading more into it. If a year seven, the wind power company goes belly up, then it seems that it falls back on the landowner initially. And it would seem that the landowner would want perhaps to take advantage of the salvage value, how the landowner acquires that through bankruptcy court or whatever, I don't know. But even having said that, it seems to me that the whole reason that these things have to be approved by a public body is there public interest in the resources there, irrespective of the ownership of the land. If this were on purely public land and all costs of decommissioning were going to be borne, realized, any benefits and costs of decommissioning were going to be realized by the public, that'd be one thing. But you throw in the fact that this is privately owned land, there's some kind of obviously lease agreement between the applicant and the landowner. How does that all play into it? Does the landowner get the salvage value? What if the landowner decides not to do that? Does that have negative consequences on public resources that where the public needs to step in? Is that?
That's, well,
I mean, it's.
Yeah, that we're a citizens group, and we're going to give the approval if we give it to put it up. But I think we also have the responsibility, if we're representing the public, to make sure that when it's done, that it goes back to where it was before, as far as the public is concerned. And so I'm just, it just, you know, it's probably a hypothetical situation, and it probably isn't going to happen, but it's a huge, it would be a huge problem. And if we had 20 of these with the same funding problem, you know, I don't know.
It's a little like Holter Chemical, right? I mean, that took a long time to unwind. A lot of different parties.
I'd like to just, if I could, just join the conversation in the sense of what I've learned about decommissioning in terms of doing this, and not just Maine, but searching literature in all the other states, that is not uncommon that salvage value or resale of parts is treated as revenue in the mix because the salvage business is well established. In other words, somebody has a train station, they don't have to put down a dime. They contract, so you come in, take this train station down, make the payments, whatever, go away, you know, that type of thing. So the concern hasn't been that there isn't a viable, as long as it's not a hazardous waste site or something, like that's what Sally was going with that. But if it's there's 350 tons of steel there and somebody's going to want to sell it. So my concern is that the base amount of the decommissioning cost at least deals with the engineering, the putting the bid out, or various aspects of securing the site or some other, this might be a consideration in with this rather than just the net by itself. I don't know if I answered you, Toby, and I tried to join in that there isn't, and you, I know as a businessman yourself and construction and all, if you could, thinking along the same lines, that there is a well-established salvage industry.
I understand that. Is the protocol laid out in the instance as to who's in charge and where it goes and who does it, or is that something we're going to decide if it happens?
I'm afraid I can't answer you.
I think it's the latter. I don't know.
I mean, as far as which state agency would take the lead on the decommissioning, I don't know what that would be.
I mean, let's say we're still on the commission. I hope we aren't 15 years from now, 20 years from now. But if we were and something that like this happened, does it come back to LURC and we have to decide who's going to do it or does – the land. I mean, it just seems to me like a big open thing with a lot of questions, and we don't know who's in charge. You know, the company that we were holding responsible and liable is no longer there or viable.
Or sold to some other entity.
Yeah, or sold to some other entity in the. I don't know. It just seems.
It seems like we would, if the company wasn't decommissioning after a certain trigger occurred, they'd be in violation of their permit. And so it would be a case where commission would be holding the permit holder responsible. My sense is, Amy, you know, correct me if I'm misstating anything. So my sense is the legal trigger to initiate that process would be the violation of the permit through non-compliance with the decommissioning provisions. What I don't know, and we may not know until we get to that point, is whether some LURC staff person would, like, start putting together a bid package for salvage dealers or whether that would be run through, like, the Bureau of General Services or, some other agency that have more technical expertise. And I don't think we've ever gone there, and so I don't know which agency would literally run the process. I was intrigued by the point you were making, though, because what we should think about the alternative, which is what if LURC isn't around in the future?
That's possible.
And yes, it is possible. And So if the permit is then being administered by a county government, you know, presumably we'd have to set up the arrangements so that it's LURC and its successors in terms of permitting. But you know, we'll have to think about that when we construct a decision, if there is one to approve, about how to make sure that that survives, even if LURC doesn't continue in its present form.
I think the issue is not only LURC survival, but I think the question that Toby was raising is, what if the applicant is no longer around? Mm-hmm. So you find the applicant in violation, but the applicant doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Then what is the process? I think that's the question.
Well, then the escrow is within the state, applies to takes control over the escrow amount and is responsible for then conducting the decommissioning if the applicant isn't, I mean, if the landowner isn't going to do it. That's my, Amy, is that reasonable?
Well, I was just going to comment that, you know, when a corporation ceases to exist, that there is a legal process by which its assets and liabilities are disposed of one way or the other. I can't tell you how that would happen, but I can say that that as a legal matter, that there are processes that goes through. And so you have a project that would have assets and liabilities associated with it, and that they would be, those would be administered through a legal process, not LURC's process, whether it's bankruptcy or whether it's dissolution of a company. That's an area of law that I can't tell you that I've even dabbled in, but I can advise you that they exist.
Gwen, I was wondering if I could, if I could ask, I think we benefited from this conversation, and the staff has made notes on a number of points. And if, like you did earlier, we went around and got a sense of what the different concerns were and a suggestion, then we can work with that. If that's, sorry. Okay, all right. And just going over that right now with Samantha, go back to the first question, really, of go back to a question, which was do we accept salvage value as a viable method? Get the questions going here. If you want, why don't we get the questions that are at the end of the decommissioning section? That'll lead us through what I was just suggesting without.
As I say, I have no problem with using salvage value as a partial calculation of cost of decommissioning. There are other costs. I mean, the netting out, decommissioning costs, okay, and then netting out the salvage value is not sufficient.
A number of different opinions about that.
But that's the, you know, does the proposed, and that's what's proposed, correct?
Right.
Okay. And I say no to the first question.
And that's no to the, that it's adequate, that there's enough.
Right.
The escrow
should not consist
of just the salvage.
Just the difference between the estimated cost of decommissioning and the salvage value. There are other costs that need to be.
I would agree with that.
Need to be more sensitive to the estimation of the decommissioning cost.
Okay.
Would you do that? Would you do that by assigning a percentage of the estimated cost of the entire decommissioning amount?
I don't know. I'd like some good thinking on that. I'm not.
We could, if there's going to be a reevaluation either prior to construction or at 3 years or whatever, we could specify in the condition of approval that one of the figures that they need to include is, you know, how much is the cost for administration of this process to get it to the point where they could bid it out for salvage, or someone could bid it out for salvage, whether it be us or the landowner or whoever, in addition to the actual cost decommission. And I think some of that is built in to this current estimate, but there would be no problem with including in a condition of approval that that needs to be clearly spelled out as a separate figure so that it's entirely clear what needs to happen up front.
Well, the alternative, as the Stolby suggests, escrow it all up front.
Right. So we just need to know what you want.
And what are you... And what you're thinking about in terms of reevaluation?
What was your
frequency of reevaluation?
Yeah, well, I agree. Frequency more than
Right
more
now
than
we're
7 years.
Year 7 and year 15.
Right, but Samantha, you had mentioned some number. Was it 3 years?
I think you'd go with every two or three years.
I would be in favor of that for sure. Again, all this is new. This is all uncharted water.
I'd be in favor of 3 years.
And the next is, this is good. Just to revisit the, if the application is approved, do you want to require conditional approval that may require decommissioning when more than 50% of the turbines have not been producing power for at least 12 months? And remember that was not just 50% aren't producing. It also was the applicant could come in with a explanation and plan, or strategy.
It doesn't automatically trigger.
I like that idea.
Then we're there on this topic.
Did we eliminate the third question about identifying prospectively the site of concrete disposal?
Well, we can take a look at that right now. There is concrete that, as I said, is going to be removed down to 2 feet. And the plan now calls for it in some site disposal or trucked off. It leaves it a bit open. And the trucking costs seem to me a little low for it all to be trucked off 20 years from now. But that said, obviously, we know where the stormwater buffers are. We know where all the protective buffers are for all the resources. All the wetlands are delineated. The streams are delineated. All those areas cannot have any concrete disposed there. I think this is disposal of concrete on site should be looked at where that goes. And that I don't see this as overly problematic, but it needs to be something that is looked at in the condition, in a possible condition.
I kind of feel like bordering on the edge of micromanagement on that. However, I would not like to see all the concrete broken up and kept on site. I mean, there has to be some.
Right now, it's proposed to be dispersed as riprap along, road closeout and possibly put in the bed of other roads on site. It's not suggested it's going to end up in a pit or a borrow pit or anything like that. It's dispersed, obviously. It says disposal off site.
Appropriate location.
So we can, in proposed condition, take a look at what's up in it.
Yeah, I'd still like to go back to my question. And, perhaps it's not appropriate to put 100% of the decommissioning cost in cash, but perhaps it is appropriate to have something more than 25% of the decommissioning cost in cash. And... I think that would be something that we could consider just to make the process a little bit easier and a little bit more efficient and a little more stake in the game.
How about if we looked at those two options? And then we could see what seemed most practical and most appropriate. Again, not just for this project, but we got to. This is one of those things that we just can't do this every time. We, we owe it to everybody to have this reasonably settled so that people know what the rules are here.
So Ed, you see this as two different options
as
opposed
to one? I'd like to
see both of them.
What logic goes into that? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just so varied that's just not going to work once Dawn gets looking at it. The other is, let's look at the suggestions that were made with regard to, you know, let's look at probably more reasonable estimate, you know, the timing and estimating full costs. That looking at the escrow is more than just the difference between salvage and total cost.
I think that's.
And so we can present two options then if we get to the point where we're presenting a decision document for you. One way to approach the issue of a higher dollar value would be to look at prior projects and look at what percentage of total costs were proposed in the escrow account and, give some kind of comparative baseline that way. So if that seems of value, we can do that calculation and present that information as a second option.
Well, I say you guys should give it, you should apply your best judgment. But previously we didn't give as much attention to decommissioning. It seems to be a growing, as we get more sophisticated about this, we paid more attention. So, you might go back and determine that, what was the rationale for these, previously. And if you guys come look at this and you say, well, one of these options just isn't going to work, please don't torture yourself. We respect you. Come back and say, we looked at the option and it just doesn't seem like it's viable. So,
thank you.
Sound reasonable?
I think this is good. I know I had some discomfort with what we had, with what was proposed, and I think this tightens it up.